Hey guys, this is Guy Agostini, aka Sunspot himself, and if I can't be hanging out with Jubilee, I'm happy to be hanging out with the Power of X-Men Familia. Hope you survive the experience.
Boom, what's up, Familia? Dayspring here with an episode of Power of X-Men to review Motendo and Life, Death, Part 1. Oh, we have a lot to talk about, Familia. But before we get into it, I want to say that X-Men 97 has been next level. I know we haven't really discussed it in the episodes we've done with Sean and Luigi and Flink, or even any of the interviews we've done, or even these like really quick early morning reviews. But X-Men 97 is really killing it out there. I have to tell you, everyone is talking to me in my IRL about X-Men 97. I had a friend just message me this morning, or a couple days ago, I'm checking it this morning at 3 a.m. but telling me that he's watching X-Men 97. And this is someone who is not a Marvel person, who is not a comic book person. They're someone who works on like Wall Street that I've known for a couple years and is literally messaging me being like, oh, I'm watching X-Men 97 and I thought about you. And I'm like, what? That is next level. So I really want to give a special shout out to everyone on X-Men 97 for creating a project that so many people are tapping into. I mean, this is quite literally saving Marvel from the superhero fatigue, saving Marvel from any of the comments a lot of people have been making over the years since Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. And I was one of them. I was definitely one of those people who were like, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, ah, Thor, Love and Thunder, ah. You know, they've had a rocky road, but I think X-Men 97, regardless of how you feel about it, is a bona fide hit. Objectively, it is doing well. Objectively, it's resonating with people. And objectively, it is getting quite the media attention. And I'm really happy for everyone involved. And it's made the X-Men a household name again. And I am really, really happy about it. Now, this episode is a Motendo and Life Death Part 1. It really very much is two different episodes in one episode. I mean, right, literally one episode ends and then Life Death Part 1 begins. Is that a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing by any means, but I also think it's making this episode a little hard to review and sort of how to take. Why don't we dive into it? First, let's go through the opening credits because there are some details in the opening credits that we can definitely hone in on. And you know, I love honing in on these Easter eggs in the opening credits. But the opening credits, there is one major change for us Jean Grey stans, and that's she has her ponytail and it's everywhere that Jean is in. So it's in the opening sequence where she is in the Blackbird standing next to Cyclops. If you pause it, which is what I've been doing right now, she is in a ponytail. In her title card, she has a ponytail. And when the X-Men are all running, she has her ponytail. So we got the ponytail back because that is a symbolic gesture meant for us, the viewer, to understand that the real Jean is back. Now, will she have her hair down? I suspect yes. I mean, we have seen some clips throughout, you know, the press releases for X-Men 97 that show Jean with her hair down. I think it's very possible that she's going to be struggling with her identity with herself and Madeline. So she may be toggling back and forth with the ponytail. So I think it's a surefire bet that, or excuse me, with the hair down and ponytail. So I think it's a surefire bet that we are actually going to be seeing her hair down again. But as of right now, the ponytail is back, baby. And you know, she has a ponytail because as we've discussed with Larry Houston and the Leewalds for years at this point, Jean has a ponytail because she is the girl next door. She is the person everyone comes to talk to. And that's sort of the reason why she has the ponytail. And it's very cute, and we love it. And listen, I've never, it's so funny. Growing up, I wasn't really a ponytail person, but now in my older age, I'm like, give me the ponytail, baby. I love the ponytail. Another thing to note in the opening is that not only is Storm absent from the credits, so is Bishop. And I got a comment in one of the Power of X-Men saying, oh, the two black characters are now off the team. To which I will say, listen, I get it. I see how it looks, but I will say that both characters are being set up for larger stories and getting their dues paid. And obviously, with this episode, we are adapting the very famous story that Storm has in the comics, which is Life, Death, which is an iconic X-Men story. And I can't believe that we are getting it adapted for Storm. And it lays the groundwork, as we've seen here, for the relationship with Forge. And that took place in Uncanny X-Men 187, I believe. I believe it was 186. 186. I'm like 187. So close. I'm horrible with issues, issue numbers, Familia. Anyways, so yes, Storm and Bishop are not here. We know Bishop is being set up for the Ascani storyline. I wouldn't worry too much about Bishop. I'm pretty certain Bishop is going to be coming back very soon. And Storm, only great things await her in terms of story. We'll talk about this episode, of course. But other things in the opening credits. We see a flashback in the opening credits to Mojo and Longshot and Jubilee. That's obviously from later seasons. Then, of course, when Forge appeared, when the X-Men versus X-Factor, we see Havoc and Polaris and Bobby there. Bobby fans reunite. That's going to break the internet. Everyone's going to be talking about that. And I think that's about it. Oh, no. How could I forget? Xavier trying to get into the inner circle and Emma blocking him out. And we get Emma there. Everyone be happy. There is our Emma cameo. So Bobby and Emma in the opening credits. Ooh, be happy. All right. So, what's going on in this episode? Well, again, it's two episodes, and it's like two episodes in one. And here we see the morning, like a couple mornings after the Maddie Jean Sinister debacle. And it's Jubilee's 18th birthday. Yay! How exciting. And what does Jubilee want to do? She wants to go to an arcade. And of course, the X-Men, specifically Magneto, don't want to do that. So she goes back to her room with Sunspot, and they find that they have a Motendo, and they're like, what is this? Let's turn it on. And oh, what do you know it? They're sucked into the Mojo world. They're sucked into the Mojo world where they have to play a video game and they are the beta taste testers. And she is saved by an alternate future version of herself called Abyssissa. Abyssa? I don't know how to pronounce her name. Sorry, I'm going to be very honest with you. I've never thought about Abyssissa. 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 Anyways, saved by an alternate version of herself that delivers a life lesson that, of course, video games are fun because they are predictable. You know that what's going to happen at the end of every level. There is no plots, no twists, but real life, there are no second chances. There are no extra lives. There are plot twists. And it's cute. And at the end, it looks like her and Roberto hook up. They kiss and it fades to black. And then we get the beginning of Life, Death, where Storm and Forge are talking. They're trying to figure out how to get Storm's powers back. Forge creates a machine that she steps into, but it doesn't look like it works. And Storm finds out that Forge was the one who created the weapon that blasted her. So Executioner blasted her with that gun that takes away powers, and it was Forge who created it. Storm's really upset about it. She starts tripping and confronts inner demons of herself. And that's where the episode ends. It's a lot. One of the things that's pretty obvious here, unfortunately, is the pacing. There is a lot that happens in this episode. And I think this episode would have done better if it had just been two separate episodes. The time on this episode is actually 29 minutes and 23 seconds. So a little shorter than the other episodes, actually. See how the other episodes compare. This is, of course, with credits. So this is with credits. All right, so say 30 minutes. It's looking like 29, but that's fine. Okay, so 30 minutes for this one. 33 minutes for the others. So a couple minutes shy. I mean, it's a lot. So when you actually hit play, it says 29 minutes and 23 seconds. So they rounded up. Anyways, it's fine. We're not gonna be angry fanboys about like how many minutes or seconds, but there's a lot, you know, that happens in this episode. And again, I think it could have been divided into two. I don't really have much to say on the Roberto and Jubilee story, to be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to be hooking up. For me, I love that Jubilee's turning 18. She's evolving past being the junior member of the X-Men. I mean, listen, 18 is still pretty young, but she is evolving past the junior member of the X-Men, and at 18 should start becoming more of a fully fledged member. So I think bringing in Roberto, who I'm assuming is at least 16 or 17 in this, or maybe even 18, but I'm assuming that the reason why we brought him in was because Jubilee was going to graduate onto bigger, better things. Perhaps Generation X. That would be really awesome if she was transitioning to Generation X. Ooh, it would make me so happy. But I think Jubilee having to confront that she's now 18, she can't be playing video games, and that real life, there are a lot of other twists and turns that she's not going to be able to anticipate, and it's time to sort of grow up. I love that. Beautiful theme. But I think we could have spent a little bit more time in Mojo World, and we could have had a little bit more fun in Mojo World. Obviously, when they enter the arcade, there's a lot of Easter eggs to the X-Men arcade. If you notice the game cartridge for Motendo, which is, I don't know why I didn't notice until this episode, Mojo Nintendo, Motendo. But, you know, the game cartridge for that is of the X-Men Super Nintendo Apocalypse game. I love that little Easter egg. That's one of my favorite video games ever. But, you know, Jubilee being like, what is this? Motendo? Ah, let me turn this on. I'd be like, Jubilee, you're an X-Man. You know better than this at this point. But the animation and everything is a lot of fun. We get a flashback to the Genosha episode in season one, and the characters are rendered there as they were. We see Sunfire. We see Domino. We see Blob. Did we see Thunderbird as well? We don't see Thunderbird, but there he is. Like, we don't really see him, but we see him pushing a wheelbarrow. Spiral is in this episode. She doesn't really do much, to be honest with you, other than be slamming the keyboard for Mojo. And we get a little nod that Dazzler also had her own thing going on in Mojo World. So, you know, It's sort of nice that they called that out. We get a couple Easter eggs to different sitcoms of the past. Divorce Court, Summer versus Gray. I hope that's not foreshadowing whatsoever that our God Queen and Cyclops are going to be getting a divorce. But we get a Who's the Boss with Storm, Jean with her hair down, Xavier, Magneto, and Cyclops, obviously, Who's the Boss. Different Worlds, that is a different world, which was one of my favorite sitcoms in the past. And there's actually a little Easter egg here. We have Bishop, and we have Sunspot there. We have Jubilee. We have Storm. We have Rogue. We have Forge, and we have Gambit. But we have two characters here that haven't appeared in the series yet. Well, in the original series, one has, but the other hasn't. And that's North Star, North Star is in this cast, as well as a Darwin. Or I think I speculate people are going to say that's Morph, but it looks like Darwin. He's wearing Darwin's costume, and he has a little wrinkles on his forehead. So I'm assuming that's supposed to be Darwin and not Morph. But speaking of Morph, no Morph cameos this week, Familia. Ooh, I wonder if they knew that the Morph cameos were going to be this popular, because people were really, really loving that. But anyways, yeah, so one of the missed opportunities I felt here was when Jubilee is fighting Magneto in the video game. We did not get the iconic line, "Welcome to die." I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. I said, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to say, "Welcome to die." And they didn't, sadly. I was like, you're homaging so many video games here, but you're not homaging Welcome to Die. Sigh. Sigh, 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 sigh. But it's fun. It's a fun sequence where Jubilee has to take on Magneto. Obviously, in the real world, Jubilee is struggling with her relationship with Magneto because he was once her villain. Now he is leading the X-Men, and he doesn't want to go to the arcade where she wants to go for her 18th birthday. So it's only fitting that he would be the boss battle here. And of course, she's confronting her older self, who delivers the life lesson. It's cute. It really is a very cute story. Now, this for me is very much B-plot, because the real episode truly begins when we start life, death. And I got to tell you, I wish this was the entire episode. I could have spent an entire episode on this. And we don't get to it until about 17 minutes and 43 seconds into it. And it's done in less than... Hang on, let's see here, because I'm trying to eliminate the credits. So we started at 17:42, right? So 17 minutes and 42 seconds, and it ends at 25 minutes and 27 seconds. So like barely about 8 minutes with that. Yeah. Wow. And this is good stuff. And like, I get it. The original life death is very quick. But my God, there was just so much here with the relationship between Storm and Forge. The animation, although the animation was fun in the first half of this episode, just the candle lighting and everything. Oh, it was so good. So, so good. And I think Storm and Forge as characters have so much chemistry. I loved it. And Allison Seeley Smith remains MVP of this entire series. Her voice acting, my goodness, so wonderful. But it goes by pretty fast. And basically what I said about the plot is sort of what stands here in these like very quick 8 minutes. Storm and Forge are trying to find a way to reverse Executioner's effects, blast effects on her. We find out that Forge was the one who created the machine or gun who that blasted Storm and took away her powers. She's very upset about it. And at the end of the episode, we are led to believe that Storm is tripping, which is accurate. And she is going to be confronting a lot of her inner demons. I wish this would have just been one long supersized episode. I wish Life Death would have been a longer episode, part one and part two together. I think there was so much. I think you could have slowed a lot of things down here, because you know, we do have Forge telling Storm that he loves her, whether this is her hallucinating that they do have a relationship in the comics. We do know that they have a unique rapport. I would love to see it play out. Yeah, so this is directly adapting Uncanny X-Men 186, and we do get a couple of Easter eggs here with Forge in his workroom, where we find a shot of the X-Factor team that's directly from the comics, a Peter David X-Factor, OG X-Factor team. Well, not OG, but you know what I'm saying, like the ones with Havoc, Polaris before, you know, right after the 05. So, you know, how do I feel about this episode? I don't want to give it a negative review, but I think there was a lot happening in here that I think we could have just slowed down a little bit You know, I think a lot of people who were upset about Inferno being done in one episode were not going to be too happy with this episode, sadly. I think the pacing is very quick and very jarring. I think the first two episodes had, upon further reflection, great pacing. This one, I'm like, oh, this one, I definitely noticed it. You know, with Inferno, I guess I could have been a little bit more forgiving because I've had decades to really think about the Madeline Jean situation. And I had a couple weeks since seeing that episode in the premiere to sort of let it set in. This one, first episode, I'm seeing fully without any buffer. And I'm like, oh yeah, th this went by really fast. And I sort of needed it to stop and like, it's not to say that there weren't moments that you're in the scene, because I think if you hear what I said about Jubilee, and by the way, I'm here complaining about time, but the original series, when you omit credits, you're probably getting about 18, 19 minutes. That's a full episode, you know, in the original series, about 18 minutes. That's the first half of this. That's the Jubilee storyline right there. So, you know, it's funny how our minds approach things, but I definitely think Life Death could be its own movie, especially given everything they did with Storm. I don't want to say we didn't need the Jubilee Sunspot story because I think it was fun. I think there's a little lesson there for Jubilee. I hope this is going to carry forward with Jubilee. I mean, again, she you know, it ends with them being a couple. The screen fades to black. We can assume that they are hooking up. But I really do think this episode, if you had just done Life Death, my God, I think it would have been a slam dunk. Just focus on the Forge and Storm storyline. I think those are all the Easter eggs I saw. I'll go back and revisit Life Death. And obviously when we sit down and sort of break out down the episode again, we'll call out any Easter eggs that we haven't. But if last week we had Easter egg after Easter egg, every frame being an Easter egg, this one I would say there's a handful. There's a handful. Again, the opening credits, you know, you have Emma, you have X Factor. You know, we have the flashback to Genosha when Jubilee and Sunspot enter the video game. We have the X Factor photo that Forge has in his workshop, the obvious adaptation of Uncanny X-Men 186, the X-Men Apocalypse cartridge, and Abyssa. Abyssa, forgetting how to say her name. Abyssa, I don't know how to say her name, but older Jubilee, older alternate Jubilee. Someone slide into my DMs. Let me know how you're supposed to say it. Voice memo it to me. And obviously the parallels or the homages to the X-Men arcade. Pretty straightforward. Oh, of course, Forge tells Storm, you know how quickly the weather can change, directly from X3. That line is ripped out of X3 when Xavier tells that to Storm after they're discussing the cure. So, you know, pretty iconic line for X-Men 3. Oh, and there is actually one more Easter egg that we Familia have not discussed in this episode. And I am recording after I uploaded this episode. So I'm an addendum to this episode. I'm going to replace the audio. But if you look at the photos, and literally, this is upon my second viewing. If you look at the photos that Forge has, you're going to see he has a photo with Dr. Attler, who folks will know from season one of The Cure. Mystique was posing as Dr. Attler. Forge is in the middle, and Bastion is in the photo. His face is cut off, but it is clearly Bastion in his purple suit and white hair. So, you know, given that the last three episodes are called Tolerance is Extinction, and that Gyrick was saying that if we're tolerant, this is going to mean extinction, there is a certain crossover called Operation Zero Tolerance. I don't know, Familia. It's looking likely that Bastion may be playing a role. It would make sense. He has ties to Masterbold. And the humans, I was thinking maybe it was going to be the Phalanx or Cassandra Nova, but that is, in fact, Bastion in that photo. Oh, what does this mean? What does this mean? All right, Familia, we're done. Anyways, Familia, that is our spoiler and breakdown of episode 4, Motendo Life Death Part 1. All good stuff. You know what? I would have liked Motendo to have been released as a webisode. Sorry, I'm so old. A webisode. I would have preferred that to have been released as a webisode. Or maybe like a bonus episode and just let us sit in life death. Life death is so good. It's phenomenal, but it's going by too fast. It went by too fast. I really want to stay there. I really want to be in these scenes a little longer. The life death, the 8 minutes we got of life death, absolutely good stuff. Let it breathe a little bit more. Let it stay with the audience. I know the original series was kind of zany with pacing, but again, as we've said with the animation, 3 decades have passed with since storytelling was told in the 90s. 3 decades have passed. Storytelling has evolved. We need to stay in scenes a little bit more. We need to savor things quite a bit more. So that's where I land. I think this should have just been life death part one and adapted life death into a two-parter, which they are. We're going to get a second part, but I mean like a fully like 1 hour like movie part one and part two. Anyways, Familia, slide into our DMs. Let us know how you feel at Power of X-Men. Our next episode is going to be a interview with Guy Agostini. So we're so excited. I cannot wait for that episode to air, and send us your thoughts.